You're listening to a message from Redemption Community Church, a life-giving church in Westchester County, New York. Subscribe to our podcast on iTunes or follow our messages online at redemptioncommunitychurch.org. Thanks for listening and enjoy the message.
Well, what's up, Redemption Community Church? So good to be with you today. My name is Mark Rouse. I serve as the lead pastor of Epic Church here in Buffalo, New York. And I want you to know that it's an honor to serve as one of your overseers. I love your church. I pray for your church. It's been so fun to be with you in person a couple times over these past couple of years. And I was looking forward to being with you again in person, but I'm glad that we can spend a few moments together online today. I also want to give some love to your pastors and Pastor Jeremy and Amy. They've just become great friends over these past few years. And I hope you know today that you truly have pastors who care for you and who love you, especially in just this difficult season that we've been in over these past few months. And it's been a difficult season for different reasons, and I want you to know that today, that you truly have pastors who love you and care for you. So again, it's an honor for me to be with you, and I hope this time that we have together strengthens your faith today, no matter where you may be at in your faith journey. So as we jump in, I want to start with a question, and I think I know the answer to this question, but I'm going to ask the question anyway. And here's the question. Have you ever lost something of great value that, thankfully, after some searching, you were able to find it? Now, I imagine most of us can think of something. In fact, I was thinking back to a time of about 5 years ago or so. My wife, Rebecca, thought she lost her engagement ring. Now, actually, it was both of her rings. She had her engagement ring and the wedding band soldered together, so it was both. And let me just say this. She was frustrated because it was her ring. I was frustrated because I knew how much it would cost. But either way, for a few days, we thought that ring was gone, and we looked everywhere. We looked in the kitchen and in the car, in our room. We even looked in the trash and in the bathroom. In fact, we were convinced that ring went down the drain in the shower. But either way, especially for Rebecca, that was a frustrating few days when that ring was missing. Until a few days later, Rebecca put on a pair of jeans, put her hand in the pocket, and guess what was in the pocket of those jeans? Yeah, you guessed it. It was the ring. And just like that, let me tell you, like there was new life in our house. There was new joy in our house because something of value, something of great value had gone missing. It was a struggle to find, but it was found again. It was taken hold of again. And I share that because over these past few months, I believe there is something of great value that has gone missing. Something of great value that has been a struggle to find. And I'm not talking about an engagement ring today. What I'm talking about is our joy. I think it's been a struggle to find joy. It's something that has gone missing because let's be honest, these past 4 months or so, this has not been an easy season. And if we picked like one word to describe the overall temperature of our culture today, just the overall like emotion of our culture, I bet very few people would say joy, that there's a lot of joy in our culture today. Like very few of us would say, man, everyone seems so joyful, just like joy to the world. It's just joy all around us. No. Instead, I think a lot of people would say, and I know I've sensed this, that there's a lot of frustration, a lot of tension and people on edge, a lot of worry, a lot of negativity, a lot of discouragements just all around us. And I'll be the first to admit that joy has been a struggle for me to find, to live with in this season. Like there's no joy in the coronavirus and everything surrounding that. You know, we think about some of the more acts of racial injustice, more examples of racial injustice, and we can't ignore that. There's not joy in that. There's not joy in the personal struggles that people are carrying. But I want you to hear my heart on this today, Redemption Church. I believe today, I'd submit to you that today is the day for us to choose joy again. I'd submit to you that today is the day for us to take hold of something, something of great value, joy that has just been a struggle to find, that's gone missing and perhaps even stolen from our lives. And I'm not talking about faking happiness today. See, the good news for us today is this, that we can choose to take hold of joy again, and we can choose to take hold of joy today. In fact, just say that with me right now. No matter where you're watching from, just say it with me. Choose joy. All right, let's say it again, twice as loud. Choose joy. Now, I want to start today with the end in mind and look at some words that the Apostle Paul wrote about joy. And I want you to know this. He wrote these words in his letter to the church in Philippi. So think modern day Greece. And Paul was not like on a Disney cruise when he wrote these words. He was not on vacation somewhere. He was in a prison cell when he wrote what we have in Philippians 4, verse 4. The Apostle Paul says this: "Always be full of joy in the Lord. I say it again, rejoice." So that's the goal, not joy in the circumstances. Remember, Paul is in jail, but joy in the Lord. Now, when Paul uses that word joy, here's what that word joy means. It means to be glad, to thrive, to be well. We think of that phrase, "it is well with my soul." That's what Paul is saying here. Now, let's be honest today, okay? Maybe some of us are thinking right now, come on, Pastor Mark, always be full of joy in the Lord. Like, how about sometimes, or every so often, or maybe on the weekends? Because we know, especially now, this season that we're in, that there's no shortage of things that can steal our joy. In fact, Jesus said we have a spiritual enemy who is on a mission to steal that joy. In John 10, verse 10, Jesus said, "The thief comes only to steal and kill and destroy. But I have come that they might have life," Jesus said, "and have it to the full." So let me ask you this question. No matter where you're watching from today, let me ask you this question. And even if you're watching online and you're comfortable dropping this in the chat somewhere, you can do that. But here's the question. Is there something stealing your joy today? Is there something stealing your joy today? Now, let me give you a few possibilities that I think are just common right now. Like, these are joy robbers. Some different examples of things that I see that is just stealing the joy of people. The first thing, we'll just call it this: disappointing circumstances. Disappointing circumstances. So maybe you're a student and you just finished your senior year, and your senior year did not go down the way that you thought it would. I think of those who have lost jobs or maybe lost businesses. Some of you have lost family members due to COVID or maybe another health issue during this pandemic. I know I've been disappointed to see more acts of racial injustice and even how some Christians would rather prove a point or try to prove a point than show compassion. Whatever the reason, disappointing circumstances. That's something that can steal our joy. Let me give you another possibility, and we'll just call it this: difficult people. So disappointing circumstances, but maybe it's difficult people. Now, I didn't know if I should phrase this difficult people or difficulties with people or difficulties with difficult people, but either way, it is so easy to allow other people to steal our joy. You know, someone who is overly critical or always negative or like rarely encouraging, often discouraging, it is so easy to let other people steal our joy, especially nowadays with social media and the constant back and forth. Like, some of us are just spending too much time, too much energy, too much just engaging in all of that on social media, and the only thing that's happening is our joy is being stolen in the process. So what is stealing our joy? Maybe it's difficult or disappointing circumstances. Maybe it's difficult people. And then another possibility, and I think this is so big right now, is simply this: just being down on ourselves. So being down on myself. So I'll share this. Especially early on in this coronavirus pandemic, my family and I, like, we were probably watching a few more movies than we normally do. And I don't know if that's been true for you or not, but one of the movies we watched early on when the coronavirus started, like, happening, one of the movies we watched was Christopher Robin. And if you know, like, Winnie the Pooh and the gang, maybe you know Eeyore, okay? Now, Eeyore, he's the gray stuffed donkey, and he's known for being pessimistic and gloomy and a little down on himself. And he has some great lines, like, "Thanks for noticing me." Eeyore says that sometimes. Or he also says this: "It's not much of a tale, but I'm sort of attached to it." There's another great line when Winnie the Pooh said to Eeyore, "Lovely day, isn't it?" And Eeyore just replies, "Only if it's a good morning," which I doubt. Like, Eeyore is just kind of known for being down on himself. And I don't know about you, but I just sort of like Eeyore. I don't know why, but he's known for being down on himself. Now, I hesitate to share that example, to even bring up Eeyore, because I don't want to make light of the fact that this has been a difficult season, personally, for many people. A lot of discouragement, a lot of disappointment, many struggling with mental health and even depression. Listen, I want you to know that what we're talking about today is not about putting on a fake smile and just making yourself sing, "I've got the joy, 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 joy down in my heart," okay? It's not about any of that. In fact, let me just say this. If this has been a struggle for you this season, just personally, whether it's with mental health or battling depression, I want you to know today that it is okay to not be okay. It's okay to not be okay. Maybe you're just in a season where you just need some help or you need some other people to surround you. I want you to know that is okay. You know, we know that our physical health and things like that are important, but sometimes there's a stigma around mental health or even some of those struggles. Listen, it's part of who God made us to be. And sometimes we just need the support of other people. I think that's why being in a group, that's why a church can be just so important sometimes. And let me just say this, that if you need some support, if you need some help in this season, that your church is there for you, that your church is there for you. So what is stealing our joy? Maybe it's disappointing circumstances. Maybe it's difficult people. Maybe it's just feeling down on ourselves in this season. But I want you to think about that today. Is there something stealing your joy? Now, in just a moment, I want to give you a couple of choices, three joy choices that we can make in our lives today. But before that, I want to be sure that we know that there is a difference between happiness and joy. And I know you've talked about this at Redemption before, but there's a difference between happiness and joy. Let me just give you a few examples, okay? First off, happiness is external, but joy is internal. Like, think about that. Like, when we're happy, how do we show it? Like we smile or we laugh. Like, if you're happy and you know it, clap your hands, okay? Happiness is external, but here's what that means. Because happiness is external, that means we can fake it. We can fake a smile. We can fake it with our words. We can fake it telling other people that everything is okay, but you cannot fake joy. It's internal. And the benefits of joy are felt in our minds and in our hearts and in our souls. Another difference between happiness and joy is that happiness is based on chance, but joy is based on choice. And so you hear people say all the time, like, "Hey, if my team wins, then I'll be happy. If my boss is in a good mood, then I'll be happy. If Pastor Mark ends this message right now, I'll be like super disappointed," okay? Be careful with that one. But joy is different. It is a choice. You see, happiness is based on things happening the way I want in my life. But joy, as we'll see in a few moments, it's a choice. One more difference between happiness and joy. Happiness is based on circumstances, but joy is based on Christ. And let's be honest, we search for happiness in many different avenues. We search for happiness in friendships and relationships and money and possessions, maybe just having fun or living in the moment. And don't hear what I'm not saying, okay? There's nothing wrong with happiness. Okay, there's nothing wrong with wanting to be happy. God blesses us with things for our enjoyment at times. But here's what often happens. When we search for happiness, search for joy in the wrong places, when those things are going well in our lives, maybe we feel happy, but when they don't go well, we tend to fall apart. But joy is based on Christ. I want to look at some words that Jesus shared. And please know the context of these words, okay? Jesus is close to giving his life on a cross. And he's preparing his disciples for some not-so-happy moments. And here's what Jesus said in John 16. He says, "I tell you the truth, you will weep and mourn over what is going to happen to me, but the world will rejoice." So remember, Jesus preparing them for his going to the cross. "You will grieve," he says, "but your grief will suddenly turn to wonderful joy. It will be like a woman suffering the pains of labor, Jesus says. When her child is born, her anguish gives way to joy because she has brought a new baby into the world. So you have sorrow now," verse 22 says, "but I will see you again." And then Jesus says this, "then you'll rejoice," and I love this phrase, "and no one can rob you of that joy." So notice, Jesus doesn't just say, "Hey, just put on a fake smile, act like everything is okay." No, he actually says, "Hey, it's going to be tough in this world sometimes. Like, there are going to be things that threaten your joy." And I think for too long, the message in the church has been, "Hey, if you're struggling a little bit, then there must be something wrong with your faith. Not true at all. But what Jesus does say here is you got to be sure to focus your joy on the right source. Even the Apostle Paul and others talked about the same thing, that we've got to make sure our joy is focused on the right choice. In fact, let me say it like this. If something is stealing our joy today, what if we considered a joy that cannot be stolen, that cannot be taken from us, that cannot be robbed of us, as Jesus said? In fact, for the rest of our time, what I want to do is I want to look at three joy choices. I want to quickly give these to you, but three joy choices that if something is stealing your joy today, that we can make these choices this week. And again, I'm not talking about putting on a fake smile, acting like everything is okay. These are internal choices. And we're going to see these in the book of Philippians in chapter 4. We looked at that verse earlier, but the Apostle Paul sharing some words about joy. So three joy choices. The first choice that we can make is this, that I will choose Jesus. If we want to experience joy in our lives, this is the first choice, that I will choose Jesus. Now, I know maybe some of you are thinking, okay, I get it, Mark. Like, this is a church service. Choose Jesus. I get it. But please know this. Choosing Jesus, it's the antidote to disappointing circumstances. And I want to give this point that I'll choose Jesus because I think for so many people, just in these past 3 or 4 months, it's been so easy for our focus to drift away from Jesus and on other things. But the Apostle Paul, we looked at this verse earlier, but I want to read it again. He said, always be full of joy, what? In the Lord, I say it again, rejoice. See, here's what we need to know today. The joy we can have in Jesus, it's based on facts, not feelings. On facts, not feelings. So our church here in the Buffalo area, we just got done renovating a former Sears Auto Center, a 27,000 square foot building that we renovated, and it's kind of turned into our church home. But let me just say this: renovating a 27,000 square foot building, a former auto center, it was not an easy task whatsoever. And I can tell you this: early on in the renovations, when we were doing some demoing and cleaning up, it felt like we weren't making any progress at all. Like, we did not feel the progress being made. But here's what I know. Here's the facts of it. If we just worked the progress, or the process rather, whether we felt it or not, progress was being made. And the same is true when it comes to, like, our relationship with Jesus. Even if we don't feel it at times, okay, the truth is that the joy that we have in Christ, it is based on facts, not just feelings. In fact, let me give you some facts. Just as far as the joy that we can have in Christ. And I think for so many of us, perhaps we've forgotten this or we've taken it for granted, okay? Some reasons for joy for the Jesus follower. First off, our sins have been forgiven. Another reason, our God is with us and for us. Another reason for joy, He helps us in our weakness. The Scripture says that nothing can separate us from the love of God that we have in Christ Jesus. And another fact, another reason for joy is that He's always working for the good of those who love Him and are called according to His purpose. That's why the Apostle Paul continued in Philippians chapter 4 and said this, don't worry about anything. Instead, pray about everything. Tell God what you need. And look at this phrase. And thank Him for all He has done. Can I just stop there for just a moment? You know what will kill joy in our lives? Comparisons. If I just had what she had, then I'd be happy. If I made what he made, then I have joy. The truth is, we wouldn't. Comparisons kill joy. But let me say this. Gratitude kills comparisons. Thank Him for all He has done, the Apostle Paul says. Then, verse 7, you will experience God's peace, which exceeds anything we can understand. And His peace will guard your hearts and minds as you live in Christ Jesus. So, Redemption Church, can I ask you a question today just based on that verse? When was the last time we expressed gratitude to God? When was the last time we just thanked Him for who He is and what He has done? Here's what I know. It'll lead to joy. That's the first joy choice, that I will choose Jesus. Let's make that commitment today. I'm going to get my eyes back on Jesus, and I'm going to choose to have joy in Him. It's based on facts, not feelings. The second joy choice for us today is this, that I will choose to honor others. I'll choose to honor others. So if difficulties with others, if difficult people steals our joy, then maybe the antidote is to honor others. And honestly, it saddens me how like respect and consideration and compassion seem to be so difficult to give to one another. Now, we may give it to people we agree with, but if it's someone we don't agree with, like we get the gloves on or we get the Facebook posts on, okay? The Apostle Paul says this in Philippians 4, as he continues in his letter, in this passage, he says this, "Let everyone see that you are," look at this word, "considerate in all you do. Remember," he says, "the Lord is coming soon." You know, I think of that word, considerate, right there. As Paul used it, the word means equitable and fair and mild and gentle. Paul says, be considerate in all you do. And then he says this, because the Lord is coming soon. Translation, life is too short to let other people steal your joy. And life is too short to steal the joy of others. Paul says, be considerate in all you do. See, here's what I can guarantee. If we will change our posture from critical and discouraging and negative towards others to be honoring and considerate, I guarantee that we will experience more joy in our lives. You know, I know your church just came off of the Serve Day this summer, just serving your community in different ways. I saw some of the pictures of your church serving in that way. And I just know this, that for those of you who have that mindset of just serving other people, there is just something that comes alive in us when we serve other people. There's something that comes alive. And the reason something comes alive in us when we serve others and we have joy when we serve others is because that's part of who God made us to be. In fact, when we serve other people, when we honor other people, first off, we're being obedient to Jesus, but then we experience joy ourselves. That's why the Apostle Paul would say earlier in this letter, to the Philippian church, he says, don't be selfish. Don't try to impress others. Be humble, thinking of others as better than yourselves. Don't look out only for your own interests, but take an interest in others too. Then he says, you must have the same attitude that Christ Jesus had. I mean, think about that. Jesus was about serving other people. And Paul says here, you must have the same attitude that Christ Jesus had. We're talking about choices of joy. I will choose Jesus. I will choose to honor others. Let me give you one more choice today, and it's this, that I will choose to not give up. How can I find joy? I will choose to not give up. Can I give you some good news today? If you've been feeling just down on yourself, discouraged, disappointed, just in these past 3 or 4 months, just in this past season, can I give you some good news? We serve a God of second chances. We serve a God of second chances. You see, one of the greatest joy robbers in our lives is regret in our past. I know I've had to deal with regret in my own life. You know, I can think back to my own faith journey and some years in high school and college. I completely drifted from following after Jesus and I just kind of strayed away. And for a stretch of time, even after that, when I came to faith in Jesus after that, you know, I always look back on those years as sort of like wasted years. And early on in my relationship with Jesus, I wish I could have gone back and just made some changes. And honestly, for a little bit of time, like I had regret over those years. And I thought about how I wish I could do things differently. And I used to beat myself up for it. But then I kind of came to a point when I just kind of realized that I can't change the past. And the only thing that regret was doing was keeping me from the future God had for me. In fact, I remember a time when I just kind of sensed God speaking to me, hey, if I'm not holding your past over you anymore, then you need to stop holding it over yourself. Regret is such a big deal in our lives. I love what Winston Churchill once said. He said, success is going from failure to failure without losing enthusiasm. See, not only will regret rob our joy in the present, but it'll keep us from the future God has for us. So maybe today, you're watching, and there's some regret. Maybe you think to a failed marriage that you regret, or I regret these poor financial decisions, or I regret this relationship, or I regret missing that opportunity, or I regret making that decision. I regret that sin. Look, no matter what you have done, if you'll confess it in humility to God, and if you'll commit to follow after His ways, do you know what? There is grace. There is mercy. And you know why? Because we serve a God of second chances. So in light of that, the Apostle Paul in chapter 4, this passage we've been looking at. In verse 8, he says, "And now, dear brothers and sisters, one final thing." Translation, this is kind of important. He says, "Fix your thoughts on what is true and honorable and right and pure, lovely, admirable. Think about things that are excellent and worthy of praise. Keep putting them into practice. Keep putting into practice all you learned and received from me," Paul says. "Everything you heard from me and saw me doing." Then he says, "The God of peace will be with you." So if you've been feeling down on yourself in this season, choose today, choose to not give up, that your God is with you and he's for you. So I asked you the question just at the beginning of the message, is there something stealing your joy today? Well, let me ask you another question before I pray for you. And the question would simply be this: of these three joy choices, what's the choice that you need to make today? Maybe it's to choose Jesus. Maybe it's to place your faith in him for the first time, or make a commitment to get your eyes back on him, to recommit your life to him, that I will choose Jesus. Maybe the choice that you need to make today is choosing to honor others and to not let other people steal your joy, but to choose to honor others. Or maybe it's this choice to not give up. Whatever it is, as I said at the beginning, I think there's something of great value that for many people has gone missing. And just like my wife and I were able to find that engagement ring, my prayer for all of us today, my prayer for you, is that you'd find that joy again. Because something of great value has gone missing. It's perhaps been stolen from us, but my prayer is that today's the day for us to choose joy, to take hold of joy again. Would you pray with me today? Heavenly Father, we thank you for this day. And we thank you today that the joy we can have in you is not based on what's happening around us. It's not based on our circumstances. It's not based on what other people are doing or what we see happening just all around us. But our joy is based on Christ. And so, God, I pray for those of us here today who perhaps these last 4 months or so, it's just been a struggle to find joy. I pray today that you would help us to make that choice, to get our eyes on you. Let the joy of the Lord be our strength. God, for those today who are making that choice to trust in you, maybe for the first time, that today would be their day. Say, "Jesus, I'm placing my faith in you, in your life, in your death, and your resurrection. I'm choosing you today." God, we're so grateful that when we make that faith decision, that we can have assurance that our sins are forgiven, that there is eternal life with you, but then also a new life, a new hope that we can live for today. And so we thank you for making a way, and that the joy we have in you are based on facts, not just feelings. God, I thank you today for Redemption Church and all that you've done through them and all that you're continuing to do through them. And I pray your blessings over them. And we thank you for all of the blessings that we have through faith in your Son, Jesus. And it's in his name that we pray. Give us the strength to walk in your joy this week. Amen.
Thanks for tuning into our podcast. If you'd like to connect with us or learn more about our church, please visit us online at redemptioncommunitychurch.org. We hope you can listen or join us next week.